Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I am Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to talk about Romans. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 9. We're in verse 25, and this is the 11th session. He begins with, "As he saith also in OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not my beloved. And he shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God." Now he's writing this to the Romans, and he's talking about Hosea, which means salvation. And it is one of the well-known Hebrew prophets, son of Beeri, and contemporary with Isaiah, and is the only prophet of Israel who has left any written prophecy. And Paul's talking about him to the Romans for a particular reason, because of what is said in Hosea, and because of the fact that some Jews are trying to impose Judaic private interpretations of the Pharisees on the Romans, and say that, oh, you have to be like this. And they are rules and regulations, nomos. They are established customs of some of the Pharisees, of which Paul was one. But Paul's eyes have been opened now, and he sees the error of the Pharisees, the error of their interpretation. And he is now explaining that we do not want to go under that. And he mentions this many times throughout his epistles, worrying about the way in Galatians where people are keeping days and feasts and all these things. He understands how they go back to the rituals, back to the forms, and miss the spirit. And the nomos, the laws that he's talking about, are those regulations, handwritten ordinances that have been imposed upon people. Religionists always are doing this, where they're creating these rituals that are really devoid of the spirit. They have a certain symbolism in them, but it is not bringing about the fruits of the Spirit. So anyway, he's talking about Hosea, so we should go and visit Hosea. We'll look in Hosea 1, chapter 2, we'll begin. "The beginning of the word of the Lord of Hosea. And the Lord said, Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, the children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredoms, departing from the Lord. So he marries Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim." This is all probably a part of a vision, an airy wife. It may not even be a real thing. He is using these as metaphors, and you'll see that in the words and names that he's picking. Because the wife of Hosea, as we see in Hosea 1:3, also Gomer was the eldest son of Japheth, and the father of Ashkenaz and Riphath and Togarmah. And we see in Genesis 10:2-3, whose descendants formed the principal branch of the population of the southeastern Europe. He is generally regarded as the ancestor of the Celts, where you get Crimea and the Crimea. Early times they settled in the Black Sea, but they actually settled in a lot of other places, and they actually came, to some degree, they had been at one time in northern India and had moved north from there. But they eventually crossed over into the British Isles, and their descendants became the Gaels and the Cymry, and the whole of the Celtic race may be regarded as part of the Gomer, according to some interpretations. But anyway, this is very interesting, because who's Paul talking to? Who's he mentioning this to? Who is he writing to? He's writing to Linus. He's writing to Gladys, who is now known as Claudia, who are actually his in-laws, and to his half-brother, the Romans, who were beginning to live by faith. obedient in faith. And he talks in Hosea about this son of Jezreel. Jezreel was what? God sows. And Jesus has parables about the sower. And we'll see how this is playing right into the prophecies of the coming of Jesus. He talks about a daughter also being born of Gomer. And her name means no mercy. God would not have mercy on Israel, but would save Judah, it says. But not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. So how is he going to do this? Well, how did Christ save? Did he save by those things? He saved by something else. Another son, Lo-Ami, not my people. Hosea 1:9 goes on and says, then said God, call his name Lo-Ami. For ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Israel will number as the sands of the sea, as it's prophesied. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, where it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. So we're seeing the repetition of what Paul is quoting here. In Hosea 1:11, we see, then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel, the sowing, where God sows. And of course, Christ is sowing the seeds of faith. And Paul is saying, this is not just for Judah, but this Christ is uniting Judah and Israel. Israel, the lost tribes that were all over and were gone up and taken over by the Celts and living amongst the Celts and a part of the Celts, descendants of Noah. And now he is bringing, by sowing these seeds of faith, bringing them together. In Hosea 2:1 we see, say ye unto your brethren, Ami. Ami, what does that mean? Nation. And to your sister, Rumah, mercy. Name of the children, or part of a prophecy. What are we talking about? Are these actually children that they're naming, or is he telling you that there will be this nation and it will have mercy, as opposed to these other children that have no mercy? Hosea goes on to say that she should put away her whoredoms. Because remember, he's married this whore. But he's saying, put away your whoredoms. I will go after my lovers that give me bread and my water and my wool and my flax and my mine oil and my drink. What is these? These are the benefits. This is what they were, free breads and circuses of Rome. But they were not going to satisfy. We see in verse 7, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. I will go and return to my husband, for then was it better with me than now. This is the parable of the prodigal son. They've gone a-whoring, they've gone after this other system of Corban that the Romans had, that Herod had imposed, where they would get their drink and their food and their water and all their benefits. But it was whoredom. It was making the word of God to none effect. And now, as prodigal sons, and this is the same message as the message of Hosea, and that's why Paul's mentioning it to the Romans, because Hosea is talking about the union of Israel and Judah again, not by sword, not by soldiers and horsemen, but by Christ. Hosea, verse 8, in this chapter 2, goes on to say, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. She did not know, understand, that God is the key to even the prosperity of Baal. This is why God said, you know, that he's sending his son, because he so loved the world that he was trying to redeem it by sowing his seeds amongst it, that it might be saved. But it had to repent and turn away from one way and go to another way. And in verse 9, he says, therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax, given to cover her nakedness. Everything's going to be, you know, just like in the days of Egypt, where Israel was the salvation during the plagues for many of the Egyptians, when their own system of emergency management in the government of the Pharaoh failed to provide for the people. Here Israel was providing for the people by faith, hope, and charity. And this is why they received those gifts from the Egyptians. This is the same principle we see here. He's saying that what the wealth that they have will now go to the others. And as Rome collapsed, who prospered? Those that would receive the seed of faith, the seed that Christ sowed, the seed of Abraham, which was faith. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lover, and none shall deliver her out of mine hands. And I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. But who's he talking about? The whoredom. Because this is part of their whoredom, where they make the day, the institution, the ritual, more important than the spirit that they were to represent. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards, and my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and a beast of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forgot me, saith the Lord. And that, of course, is what Jesus was telling the Pharisees. You burn your incense and your cummins, but you do not tend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith, to the Corban of Christ. You were not taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, but through men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. Balaam, the Nicolaitans, the sin that always brings men back into bondage, through covetousness makes you merchandise, human resources. And I will give her vineyards, from thence the valley of Achor for the door of hope. The door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Egypt, what was Egypt? The government was providing the benefits, but you had to pay in. You were in bondage. That's what Egypt means, bondage. And he's saying that she will remember this when Christ comes to bring Judah and Israel back together in the church. In the church, in the called out ones, in his disciples. We call it church today, but it's his ministers that were called out to serve, not to rule over, not to exercise authority, but to be the benefactors of the Lord, to set the table of the Lord through the free will offerings of the people rather than the forced offerings of Balaam. For I will take away the name of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name, by that character, by that way. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the fields and with the fowls of the heavens and the creepy things of the ground. When did Paul mention these things? When he's talking about how men worship the institutions that these things represent. The authorities that they represent. He's going to make a covenant with them where they're going to recognize Christ and say, this is the King of the Jews. This is the King of the Jews. This is the King of the Jews. And they will send Roman centurions to protect Paul when Paul repents and begins to serve Christ the King. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them to lie down safely. And Christians thrived, Even under persecutions, Christians thrive. Real Christians thrive. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness. Paul talks about righteousness and the judgment of the loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil. And they shall hear Jezreel, the sower. The sower is Christ, who sowed the seeds of faith amongst them again and made them a nation of mercy. In verse 23 we see, and I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. Which takes us back to the verse 25, Romans chapter 9. In Romans 11, we also see in verses 30 through 32, for as ye in times past have not believed God, times past. What's he talking about? They were following the ways of the Corban of the Pharisees. They were electing kings because they had forgotten the ways that Moses had taught when he brought them up out of Egypt. Times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. So he's talking to the Romans and to the Jews and saying that you're all one now. Israel and Judah united in faith. For the just shall live by faith. They shall live by hope. They shall live by charity, by free will offerings in the government of God. In chapter 3 of Hosea we see, then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord, toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and a half a homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return to seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Who is the king? Who is the highest son of David? Is it not Christ? Hear the words of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land, by swearing, which of course Jesus says, swear not, and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. You're not to eat meat with blood in it. You're not to be taking anything from your neighbor through covetous means, but only through free will offerings. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field, with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fish of the sea also shall be taken away. And we're down in verse 3 of this chapter 4 of Hosea. Now going to verse 4. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They do not understand the ways of God. And the modern church is not preaching the ways of God, this ways of faith, hope, and charity. They are preaching the ways of the priests of Balaam. They are preaching the ways of the benefactors who exercise authority. And they are saying, be a part of that system. But Christ has called you to repentance. You have gone back in again. God called you to repentance, brought you out of Egypt. We see this same process going back generation after generation. You come out, you go back. You come out, you go back. But some of you can hear the ways of the Lord and will receive the knowledge of the Lord. In your congregations, you can begin to walk in the ways of the Lord. And we will talk about that and have talked about that in other studies. And we will show you, if you will congregate together in His name, His way, you will do things another way. And not the ways of whoredoms, but the ways of righteousness. And the just shall live by faith. This is the message of Paul. It all fits. You have to put it in the context of the gospel and the context of the word of God. The whole thing. And that's what he's doing to the Romans. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, though, I will also reject thee, and thou shalt be no priest to me. Everybody says they're priests and kings. Are you a priest to Christ? Are you doing what priests did in Christ's kingdom? Are you being priests and kings in your homes, taking care of one another, your neighbors, in free congregations, free assemblies, called out of the ways of the world into the ways of Christ, and living by faith, hope, and charity? Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children, which is what has happened. But now some of you are beginning to wake up. Verse 7 goes on to say, and as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their hearts on their iniquity. This is the people he's going to say, get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity, ye workers who live by force and not by faith, who don't live by justice and righteousness. You say, we're not under the law. Does that give you the right to covet your neighbor's goods, to take from your neighbors, to pray to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority? God forbid, Paul tells us. You are to live in righteousness. Verse 9, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. They're like priests. Where? Who are your priests? Who do you go to for your benefits, for your wine, for your bread? Who do you go to receive what should be thanksgiving, but is actually for your welfare and a snare? Who are the priests of your society? Are they men who operate by faith, hope, and charity? Are they men who operate by force and regulations and controls? This is the distinction between God's kingdom and all others, between His nation and all others. Can you be called His nation, His people, if you do things according to the ways of Egypt, if you do things according to the ways of Balaam and the Nicolaitans? That is iniquity. For they shall eat and not have enough. In other words, your systems will fall short. They will begin to weaken. They shall commit whoredoms and shall not increase because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. You haven't been listening to the Lord. You haven't been keeping His day. Does that mean that you have to keep that, you know, Sabbath or Sunday or any of those days, and you all get to go to your churches and your synagogues and pray and you sing? Keeping the day means you work 6 days and then you take your day of rest. If you're in debt, you have not been keeping your Sabbath. Everybody's benefits throughout the world in every country, free medical care, health care, aid, taking care of the widows and orphans and the needy of your society, is all done by debt today. All systems are in debt. Every child born is born in debt. Every benefit you take puts them more and more in debt. and their strength is eaten up. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away their hearts. They don't love one another anymore. There's no hue and cry because of injustice. They're not tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, and mercy, and faith. But they can, if you will repent and turn around, God will come out and meet you halfway, like the prodigal son again. And you will be his people again. But you must repent in order to receive the salvation of Christ. You cannot just be baptized and say you believe. You must repent, turn around, go the other way. And you can start that today. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of the whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, they burn incense upon the hills, under the oaks and the poplars and the elms, because of the shadows thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. And the adultery you see in the private homes and the breakdown of the families, this is all the symptoms of the whoredom of the heart, of living by force. And you, in a society that lives by faith, hope, and charity, the family and free congregations are essential. You do not want to see any families break up in your congregation. You will work and strive to keep them together. Today they are torn apart daily. He says, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. We have lost our understanding, but we can get it back now if we will listen to the whole gospel of Christ, which Paul is telling us. And we will return to Keys of the Kingdom. Be right back.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hishollychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hishollychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hishollychurch.org.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're in verse 15 of Hosea, putting Paul in the context, Paul's Romans in the context of the reference that he made. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. Again, this binding of Judah and Israel together. And come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor swear, the Lord liveth. Now these places, and we could go into that, but we'd be better off going into that in a study on Hosea alone. But it says, for Israel slideth back and backslideth heifer. And remember, when we talk about the red heifer, it's not a heifer, it's not red. It's something else altogether, and we'll have to talk about that later. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. So this is what's going to happen if you repent. He will feed you as a lamb. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings. And they shall be ashamed because their sacrifice. In Hosea 7:1 we see they commit falsehoods, and the thief cometh in, and the troops of the robbers spoil us without. In other words, there's going to be all these wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be corruption, and the thieves and robbers are going to break into your treasuries, your corbins, and steal it away, and there won't be any corbin for you. There won't be any sacrifice for you. And you will be desolated. He goes on in verse 2, and they consider not their hearts that I remember all their wickedness, for they have made ready. What's the word there? It says made ready. If you go back to the Hebrew, it's the word karab, which is where they get the korban. Their korban, their hearts like an oven. Their offering is like an oven. While they lie in wait, their baker sleepeth all night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They talk about their strength being devoured like a silly dove without a heart. They call to Egypt, to the bondage. They go back to that bondage, and they go to Assyria. This is what everybody has done. They're back in the bondage of Egypt again. They're caught in the net. They lie in wait for their own neighbor, and they're caught in the net, as Proverbs talks about. They sat and ate with rulers, and were men of great appetite, and they served deceitful dainties, and what should have been for your welfare has become a snare. Paul's talking about this. This is the theme of the gospel, of living either by faith, hope, and charity, or by force, fear, and violence. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them, the net of their own weaving. I will bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregations hath heard. Woe unto them. And remember all the woe unto's that Christ gave in his gospel. This is where he's getting them from. For they have fled from me, destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquities. Iniquities. What iniquities? Coveting their neighbor's goods. Creating these deceptive systems like Egypt that will bind people up. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquities and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. He goes on to say in verse 3, Assur shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our God, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. The work of their hands, the work of their hands is to create these institutions, that they're going to do it themselves. They're not trusting in God. He says, I will heal their backsliding though. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as a dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree and his smell as Lebanon. They shall dwell under the shadow, shall return, they shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine, and the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Again, he's talking about prospering coming, but what's happening? Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? They're going to repent. They're going to turn around. They're going to turn away from those systems. I have heard him and observed him, and I am like a green fir tree. He is the prodigal son returning. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them. The ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. The just shall live by faith. That's what it means by walk in them. for the transgressors shall fall therein. Who are the transgressors? Those who covet their neighbor's goods. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is what he is saying to the Romans. This is what he's explaining. They knew of Hosea. He mentions it. He knew the message. They read this like a nursery rhyme. The relatives that he had that it came from Great Britain, Linus and Claudius, and the Romans who had gone there and spread these same messages, you know, Paul's half-brother, had known of these things and understood. And this is why they were creating these institutions, even in Great Britain, through charity, not through taxes. And this is why they were loved by some of those in Great Britain who were actually there in Rome by the time Peter arrived, preaching the gospel from Great Britain, even as far away as Ireland. Or what is Ireland today? Chapter 9 of Romans, verse 27, he talks about Isaiah, also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sands of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. This is Paul telling the Romans. Why is he telling the Romans this? What did it say in Isaiah? Chapter 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. What did we read in Matthew 3:3? For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Or in Luke 3:4, as it is written in the book of the word of Isaiah, the prophet saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And in John 1:23, and said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. As he said, the prophet Isaiah. And you can read it also in Mark 1:3. But in Isaiah 1:3, we see the ox knoweth his owner, and ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know my people, doth not consider. My sheep hear my voice. Same themes that are repeated over and over again. Isaiah 1:4, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have proved the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backwards, knoweth his owner. Away backwards, backsliding. But then we heard in Hosea just then that he was going to forgive them if they repent and turn around. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. In verse 7, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. Go on to verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we shall have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not into the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Do you think Sodom and Gomorrah had these same sacrifices? Yes, they did. This is how they took care of their needy. If you have read Thy Kingdom Comes, I think it's chapter 3, and we will put this in other books as well and clarify this, that these altars were to take care of the needy of their society through free will offerings. But in Sodom and Gomorrah, they did not do it through free will offerings. The people belonged to the government. They were human resources. That's why the king of Sodom goes to Abraham and says, you keep the stuff, give me the people, because if I have the people, I can make them make more stuff. He knew he wanted the people, but did Abraham agree to that? No, he had set those people free. He said, I'm not going to take one buckle. He wasn't going to give them back to people either. But the people could go back because Abraham was teaching people how to build altars based on faith, hope, and charity. Living altars of living stones, even back then. And that is what Christ was teaching. We're always having to restore you back to the way. But we're always ending up preaching it in the wilderness because you've gone out of the way. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of your burnt offerings of rams. That isn't it. It is righteousness that God wants to lead us to. He goes on in Isaiah to say in verse 12, when ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hands, to tread my courts, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me, the new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings, your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me, and I am weary to bear of them. Why? Because they were no longer based on faith, hope, and charity, based on love. Hosea had said in chapter 2, verse 11, I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. Keeping these feasts is to keep them in righteousness. If you don't do it in righteousness, it doesn't matter what calendar you have. Righteousness depends upon the free will offering, the love, rather than force. I see people trying to return to the old ways, and they heap more rules and regulations on you. Oh, you got to do it this way. Oh, you got to do it that way. Oh, you got to watch this. Oh, you got to look at that. But are they tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith? Are they taking care of the widows and orphans and needy of their society by pure religion? Verse 15, and it goes on to say, and when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. People raise their hand in church and they sing and we raise our hands to the Lord. But what are they doing the other 6 days of the week? They are praying to men who call themselves benefactors, who exercise authority, saying, I want my benefits. Every social welfare system in every country throughout the world is bankrupt. In countries like the United States, your social welfare money and Social Security is not separate from the common fund. There can be no earmarking. That's the law. It's been ruled over and over again. 1960, 1935, it's ruled. There is no separation. So if you're operating at a deficit, every dime you take is taking from the children of your children. Every benefit you take puts your children farther into debt. You must forgive that debt and start anew in the righteousness of God. Verse 16, he went on to say, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows. Pure religion again, taking care of the widows and orphans and needy of your society through charity. How do you start this? How do you do this? Verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, obedient in what? Obedient in faith, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel and be unrepentant, you can tell me to your blue in the face that you believe in Jesus, and I will not believe you. Ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. As for my people, children, that's what he says when he says people. If you look there, it's the word there is actually translated glean more times than children, or done, or abuse, or mock, defiled practices. That's what it says. What children? What children is he talking? For my people, for their abuse? Are there oppressors? And the women shall rule over them. And my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err, and destroy the ways of thy path. You're not going in the ways that Christ preached. You're not going according to the Corban of Christ. It is time to repent, and then you might be saved. You're not going to do it by works, but you've got to be going the path. You've got to be following the real Christ. Isaiah 13:16. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled and their wives ravished. In chapter 30, verse 1, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. That's what you're doing. Go to verse 9, chapter 30. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Not hear it where? In their hearts and in their minds. Isaiah 31:6, turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. They don't live by faith, yet we know the just shall. Isaiah 38:19, the living he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. And some of you are waking up to that, but you need to act upon it and not fold this knowledge up in a napkin. Go to, you know, I don't want you turning to the pages all the time, but in Isaiah 59, verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. But he will hear you if you turn around. You just turn around and start heading back home. Isaiah 63:1, who is this that cometh from Edom, that dyed garments from Bozrah? Bozrah, what is that? Fortress. That means fortress. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. In verse 8 we see, for he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. He was their savior. This is where we need to be going, is following in his ways, and then he will walk with us and meet us, and he will come and be our fortress. Isaiah 66:8, who hath heard such things? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And that's where we're at. And we'll talk about that in another place. But when the dry bones are coming together, there is a child being formed in the womb of the earth. And in one day they will come forth. But now God is breathing life into those bones. And those bones are calling flesh to come upon them. And in one day the Spirit of the Lord will be in them. But you must begin the journey back. You do not have enough time to go back all the way on your own. The Lord must come out to meet you. And he will if you will turn around and return. Chapter 9 of Romans, verse 28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had seen as Sodoma and been made like unto Gomorrah. And that's, of course, what they were doing. They were becoming like those city-states. and they needed to repent. Except for the seed of Christ, who sowed the seed of faith and mercy and love. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? Absolutely. But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness hath not attained to the law of righteousness? Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone, the law, and no one better to say this than Paul, a Pharisee amongst Pharisees, a man of ritual amongst rituals, but devoid of the Spirit. But in his yearning to know the truth, God came out and knocked that prodigal son off his horse, that he might begin to preach the gospel of Christ. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For therein is the righteousness revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, The just shall live by faith. And this is the message of Paul to the Romans, that Judah and Israel are bound together with one king, the highest son of David, who taught us a corban of Christ based on faith, hope, and charity, that we may walk in his righteousness, not doing away with the law of God, but the laws of men, the nomos of men, who are imposed on us by Pharisees and Roman Caesars alike, by our iniquity, our covetousness, our whoredom. But now we can be a nation under God in righteousness if we will repent and turn around and walk in his ways, in his corban of mercy, in his pure religion. And this is the whole message to the Romans, and it is the gospel of Christ. It is not a new gospel. He is not doing away with our responsibilities, but laying upon us and coming out and mean us. We cannot keep the law without the Spirit of God dwelling in us. But the Spirit of God will not dwell in an unrepentant heart. You need to know what you need to repent of, because you have gone the ways of whoredom. You have taken the name of the Lord in vain, and it is time to repent and turn around. And this voice in the wilderness is calling you to do it, like so many voices before from the wilderness that have called you to do it. And now in our next session, we will begin with chapter 10. Chapter 10 begins, Brethren, my heart desires and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Is this not the message of the gospel? That the Son came that ye might be saved? There's a might. When he talks about us and we, when Paul talks about us and we, you want that to be you, then you must repent. You must turn around. You must start going the other way. Come together in free congregations, free assemblies. Learn to love one another. Learn to forgive. Learn the thanksgiving of Christ. Care for one another. No longer seek the benefits of those who call themselves benefactors, but take away from your neighbor to provide you with the bread of whoredom. Until we meet again, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.